The reading is from Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have promised to provide everything that we need, and you do on a daily basis. Father, we thank you for Jeff, for his willingness to share your word with us this morning. And we ask now that you would speak to us through him. Amen.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Good to be with you again. And thanks, Rosie, for reading so well this morning. The passage before us is included in all four Gospels. It's the only miracle that is found in all four Gospels. And it's as if the Gospel writers felt how important this story was for our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to focus on verse 41 this morning, for it's about thanksgiving, which is our theme this morning. Jesus looks up to heaven and gives thanks. I really miss the clapping, don't you? I really miss that Thursday night gathering on the front lawn, on the pavement, perhaps, with all the neighbours clapping and giving thanks, and the men sort of whooping, and the children jumping and banging the saucepan lids, and the camaraderie and the friendship and the love and the neighbourliness. It was almost surreal. It was strange in a way. It was almost daft. It felt a bit silly at first, but after the first time we did it, we felt so uplifted in the thanksgiving, so uplifted in the fact that we've been concentrating on the good things that were going on. The National Health Service, you know, the supermarket shelf stackers, the carers, the bin men who collect our rubbish still every week. We concentrated on something that was good and positive, and in a sense just put aside the chaos that we were actually in. Just 1 minute on a Thursday night really uplifted us as we gave thanks. We looked up to heaven, if you like. In the middle of the coronavirus chaos, we looked up to heaven and gave thanks. In this story, Jesus looks up to heaven and gives thanks. In the midst of crisis, in the midst of a crisis time for him, he gave thanks to God. You know, the root of happiness is thankfulness. The way to a joyful attitude is gratitude. Give thanks in all things. My first point. We've heard it said so often, give thanks in all things. Surely we don't have to give thanks in all things, but it's so important that we do. It's not easy. It's easier said than done. You know, Jesus was in chaos at this time. There was all sorts of things going on in his life. He was tired. He had a very powerful ministry, and people were always after him for something or the other. He'd just been rejected, actually, out of his town in Nazareth, out of his hometown, by his neighbours and people he probably grew up with. They didn't want him there. They drove him out of town. They tried to stone him. He must have felt so rejected by that. And he'd also heard about John the Baptist, who'd been beheaded by King Herod, his cousin. He must have felt so bereaved and so overwhelmed with sadness at this terrible, terrible thing that had happened. So Jesus is at a time of great chaos in his life. His disciples have just returned from a very successful mission, but they're tired too. And he says to them in verse 32, he says, come with me to a quiet place and let's find some rest. He was desperate to get away and find some rest. But a great multitude were clambering after him. They were hungry. They were hungry for the word of life that he brings. Aren't we all? And full of compassion and kindness, he looks upon them and sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And he goes to them and he teaches them all day long. He's talking to them, interacting with them, I can imagine. Perhaps telling the children a story, maybe. Being friendly, listening to their worries and their concerns. And by the end of the day, how tired must he be by now? It was late and there was a lot of hunger. They were hungry and there was nowhere to buy food. They were in the wilderness. There was nowhere. And Jesus says, well, go and get me, to his disciples, go and get me something that I can feed these people. And they say, well, there's 5,000 of them. He says, go and find me something. And they find him something. They find him 5 little barley loaves and 2 little fish. And I don't know how he reacted to that, but I know the way I would have reacted. I would have said, you're joking me. You're kidding me. What can I do with this small amount when I'm supposed to be trying to feed 5,000 plus the women and the kids? But yeah, Jesus doesn't say those things. He looks up to heaven. He knows where his focus should be. And he looks up to heaven and he gives thanks for what has been given. And of course, he breaks the bread and the miracle occurs and all are fed with lots and lots over. So often, when things overwhelm us, the last thing we want to do is give thanks. But always remember, God is here to help us, not to harm us. Look again at Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. You know it so well. I'll read it. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, and not to harm you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. With God, there's always hope. With God, there's always a future. Remember that. God is out to help us, not to harm us. And remember too, that not every circumstance that comes against us is God's will. There's free will as well. My will and your will and others' will that come against us. God gives us free will. And this coronavirus is caused by human action, not by God's action, but by human action, or by the lack of it, perhaps. And when he does challenge us, and things do come against us that are dark or painful, when this does happen, when God does challenge us in this way, it's always for our good in the end. Actually, if God is with us, it doesn't feel like that at the time. It feels like a nightmare, doesn't it? I know. But it's like that poem, when you look back at the footsteps in the sand, you know that he carries you. When you look at the footsteps in the sand, you know God carries us through these times of challenge and chaos. When we give thanks to God in all things, we find hope that transforms the overwhelmed traveller into more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Give thanks in all things. God is with us and all will be well. But also give thanks for small things, which is my second point. This miracle came from a little boy's willingness to share what little he had. The little boy bit comes in John's gospel. John mentions the child. And I want to take this opportunity to say something about the children of our church. I love the kids in our church. They are so powerfully full of God's love and faith. They come with such enthusiasm. I just love the way they've been involved in the live stream on a Sunday morning, especially when they're trying to teach us these action songs. I love it when they get it a bit wrong themselves, because I often get it wrong too, and that makes me feel a bit better. But aren't they brilliant? Aren't they wonderful? The way they're smiling, where they're full of joy, they're giggling and laughing and leaping and jumping and turning and trying to get this right and teaching us, and they're smiling, and at the end they go, oh, and they bring so much fun and laughter into our houses and into our homes. So much joy enters my situation, and I just love to watch them and I love to see them. They are so full of faith. There is no doubts in them. You know, Jesus often said, didn't he come as little children? It's great. And I just want to encourage you to nurture your children in this way, to continue to nurture them in this way. Give them to God. They're little things, aren't they? But give them to God and he will bless them. He will guide them and be with them all the time. And encourage them that even in their littleness, even in their smallness, if you like, encourage them to know that they are worthy, and that we want their help in building God's kingdom, in building the church. We need them. They are an asset to us. Give them a blessing like that. Encourage your children to know that they are worthy and worth. God loves them and will keep them safe and guide them. I love the kids. I love them. They're brilliant. They're a brilliant lot. And I love the church that nurtures them so well with its teaching and its clubs and groups and everything. You know, God doesn't need us to be superhumans. Thank God. I couldn't be a superhuman if I tried. But children try to be, don't they, sometimes? His church was built on a small group of very ordinary people. And we need to remember that God's church is still being built on very ordinary people. And yet his kingdom comes and his will is done in this world. I often think that God prefers us to come to him with little things, small things, rather than knowing we've got everything we need and we come with these sort of big ideas. I think God prefers it when we come to him in humility and say, look, I haven't got a lot, but what I've got, I give. And pray, and God, that you would use it for the building of your kingdom. And of course he will. In my experience, the more I given to God, the more I've got back. And you've probably experienced that too. It's a real truth of faith. God always gives back in greater amounts than ever we give to him. He multiplies and we receive. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. You know, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, we find this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect, is made perfect in your weakness. Really? Your power, my power, says Lord, is made perfect in your weakness. Just come as little children. Just come with what you have and give it to me and I will multiply it. How's your faith? Just a little mustard seed, perhaps? Give it to God. Give it to God and say, God, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, Lord. How's your defenses against temptation? Just a bit, just a little. Do you struggle with temptation? Wish it was stronger, wish it was bigger. Give it to God. Give it to God and let him deal with it. Let him protect you. Pick up the sword, the shield of faith. Pick up the shield of faith and watch the arrows of the evil one spin off of it. He won't be able to get through to you. You will be defensed against that. He will protect you and guide you and help you with that. What about your patience? Just a little? Perfect. God can sort that. God can have that. Give it to God. We're all a bit impatient sometimes, but we're meant to be not impatient as Christians. We're meant to be better than this. What about your goodness? What about your kindness? What about your self-control? Just a bit, not a lot. Wish you had more. Give it to God and he will multiply it. Give that situation to him. And what is it you have? What is it you have that you could give to God? You might say, well, I don't have a lot. I don't have much. I'm not very good at anything. Every Christian, every believer has some gift to give, more than one perhaps. But we often don't see it. We don't discern it in ourselves. We think we're not as good as the next person or something, or we can't possibly be as good as that. We are not meant to be the next person. You're meant to be you. God calls you. God loves you. And you have a gift. You have a part to play. And he wants to multiply that part and that gift for the building of his kingdom. It might be good to think about the things that maybe you could share with God and with the church that will build his kingdom. Come to a place of thankfulness. Bring what little you have and watch God. Watch God feed the world with his love. Well, I'm finished. I'm done. I just want to ask that we give God a clap. Let's give God a clap. Let's remember, perhaps every evening, maybe 8 o'clock, to give God a clap in all things and in small things. God bless you, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye. God bless. I'm going to pass back to Tim now for some more worship.